words and cluttered hearts, that we might hear your voice and live. For we long to be glad servants of your hidden holy reign. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Our first scripture reading this morning is selections from Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made a golden statue whose height was 60 cubits and whose width was 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Accordingly, at this time, Chaldeans came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn shall fall down and worship the golden statue. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These pay no heed to you, O king. They do not serve your gods, and they do not worship the golden statue that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, demanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought in. So they brought those men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods and you do not worship the golden statue that I have set up? Now if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn to fall down and worship the statue that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. If our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve you, God, your gods, and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face was distorted. He ordered the furnace heated up 7 times more than was customary, and ordered some of the strongest guards in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So the men were bound, still wearing their tunics, their trousers, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was so overheated, the raging flames killed the men who lifted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the furnace of blazing fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up quickly. He said to his counselors, Was it not 3 men that we threw bound into the fire? They answered the king, True, O king. He replied, But I see 4 men, unbound, walking in the middle of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the 4th has the appearance of a god. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed, and their tunics were not harmed, and not even the smell of fire came from them. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the king's command and yield up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that utters blasphemy against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way."
Our New Testament reading this morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 18. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the word of God for the people of God. Last week, Jeremiah wrote a letter to the exiles in Babylon, telling them to build houses, to marry, to be part of the community there in Babylon. For in the welfare of the city where they live, they will find their welfare. This week, we see the flip side of those instructions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego live in Babylon at about the same time as Jeremiah. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has 99 problems, but a tragic lack of self-esteem is not one of them. He has a golden statue of himself cast, a little over 100 feet high and 10 feet wide, and set up on a plain just southeast of the city of Babylon. Then he issues a decree that whenever the horn sounds, everyone must fall on their knees and worship this golden statue. Those who do not will be burned alive in a furnace. Before we go any further, we need to define a term here: worship. What is worship? It means to bow down to something or someone, or to treat them with the reverence and adoration appropriate to God. When you really worship something, it represents your ultimate value, what you value more highly than anything else. Who you are, your very identity, is closely tied up in what you worship. There is a purpose behind Nebuchadnezzar's whole statue exercise. It is not just the man's ego, though I'm sure that was some small part of his motivation here. That purpose is to unify the empire. Nebuchadnezzar has conquered many tribes who worshipped many tribal deities. He sees potential fracture lines in his empire here. To prevent that, he wants to eliminate all those cultural and religious differences between all the different tribes and make everyone into proper Babylonians. He wants them to worship him and through him the Babylonian Empire. So he has the statue built and he issues his decree. Of course, you know how it is. Someone immediately tries to game the system and use that decree for their own gain. It seems that there are some Jews who are taking Jeremiah's command very seriously, the one about looking after the welfare of the city. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have reached high ranks in the city government. These three young men have done all that you might expect ambitious servants of the king of Babylon to do. They dress Babylonian. They speak the Akkadian language. They've even taken Babylonian names, the names their mothers gave them, were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Together with their friend Daniel, they have distinguished themselves by their wisdom and their service to the king. The one thing that they do not do is worship King Nebuchadnezzar's golden statue. So certain Chaldeans, looking to get ahead, go to the king and denounce their rivals in the civil service. So the king has these three men brought in. He asks them if the accusation is true. The three men plead guilty. They go on to tell the king that if our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, we will not serve your gods and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up. The three men don't know that they will survive the fiery furnace. They do not know that they will not die horrific deaths of burning and smoke inhalation. But they refuse to worship the statue anyway. These three men have done all that Jeremiah commanded. They've settled down for the long term and become part of the community. They seek the welfare of the city where God has sent them and pray to the Lord on its behalf. They don't just pray, they also work, helping run the city. What they refuse to do is allow the empire or its king to become their object of worship. They will not become 100% Babylonians with their identity coming completely from the city of Babylon. They work for the good of the city, but they remain Hebrews. They continue to worship God, and they will continue to worship God no matter what King Nebuchadnezzar does to them. This is a great story, and I'm sure that Christians who are being persecuted in places like Iraq and South Sudan get a lot of comfort from it. But what's there for us? I mean, Christians are not being persecuted here in the United States. The people who claim that we are actually being deeply disrespectful to those Christians who face summary execution for worshiping God in those other countries. Well, there's a lesson here about the first and second commandments and a lesson about faith in God. Those first two commandments not only made God's top 10, they head the list. These commandments, just in case you don't remember the exact wording, are, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to break these commandments, even if it might cost them their lives. Now, nobody in America today is telling us that we ought to be getting our core identity from something other than being a child of God, are they? I don't know about you, but I hear many people telling us that and making competing claims upon us. Some people tell us that what is important, most important about us is that we are Americans, not like those godless heathens who live in other countries. So the moment there's a disagreement, we ought to just bomb all those other people and destroy their communities and their churches where they, wait for it, worship the same God we do. Some people tell us that what is most important about the people I see around me in this room, and myself included, is that we are middle-class white people, not like those poor people who live over there, or those terrible people who did not choose their own ancestry properly. So we need to act to make government decisions always hurt them and benefit people who look like us, down to and including our skin color and driving cars at least as expensive as ours. Some people tell us that what's most important about each of us is our profession and the varying degree of respectability that that profession carries with it. So we ought to admire some people and look down on others, not because they are good people or bad, or their work is more or less important, but because mostly of how much money they bring home every month. I tell you, if any of these things has become the most important thing about you, or where you get who you are, it has become an idol. Let me tell you what God says is the most important thing about you. You are a child of the Almighty God. And you know what? So are people of all nations and races. John says that Jesus came into the world because God so loved the cosmos, the entire world, not just people whose ancestors came from one particular section of the globe. So are people who are poor. If you read the Bible, and those of you who've read the whole thing know what I'm talking about, you see from beginning to end a systematic bias in favor of taking care of people who are not able to take care of themselves. So are people of all professions and no profession. Jesus ate with prostitutes and tax collectors, with lawyers and with fishermen. We share that identity as children of God with all our brothers and sisters. Anything that is more about us that is more important to us is an idol. Allowing an idol to determine how we live our lives is idolatry, idol worship. It is difficult to follow God's command, but it is that simple. The second thing to learn from this story is a lesson about faith in God. Faith is not just trust that everything will be okay. Real faith in God is being okay, no matter how it turns out for you, because you know who's in control of the big picture. That's a lot easier if your identity comes from being a child of God and you're not worrying about all those idols out there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into that fiery furnace because they refused to worship a golden statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. They went into that fiery furnace not knowing what would happen. I'm sure that they hoped God would save them, but they went not knowing. And they were okay. Not because God saved them, though you notice God did. They were okay because they knew who they were. They were children of God. Children of God do not walk alone, even when they go into scary places. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not fear. Jeremiah told us last week to seek the welfare of the city where we live, for in its welfare we would find our welfare. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego this week show us the flip side of that commandment. Do not let that city become who we are. We are children of God, and we must not let anything become more important than that. And children of God do not walk alone. God may not always scare us, may not always save us from the scary or the painful, but God walks with us always, even through the most difficult times and places. Thanks be to God. Amen.